Hello everyone, my name is Peter Kuchinka and I'm a new reader for the Illinois Radio Reader. Today I'll be reading selected articles from the News Gazette weekend edition of Saturday and Sunday, December 27th and 28th, 2025. The News Gazette is a 10-time Illinois Press Association newspaper of the year. There are two stories on the front page. The first one is on St. Michael's Catholic Church in Bement, and it is the title reads, Bement Church Prepares for Final Mass. Closure is part of the Diocese of Peoria's reorganization plan, by Luke Taylor from the News Gazette. As St. Michael's Catholic Church hosts its final Mass on Sunday, parishioners and everyone else are invited to attend, not only in mourning, but also in celebration of the church's impact. Molly Tracy, one of the two trustees at the church, said it's like a funeral in that way, or rather a celebration of life. Quote, "It's a celebration of the community. It's a celebration of the memories and occasions," Tracy said. "So many wonderful things took place in the church, weddings, baptisms, funerals, family events." Unquote. The church is set to close for essentially logistical reasons, as determined by the Diocese of Peoria. Tracy said about a year ago the diocese looked at how resources were being used and churches could be better organized. Leaders decided to merge three parishes, St. Michael, St. Philomena in Monticello, and St. Joseph in Ivesdale. To make the best use of resources and manpower, one of the three would be closed. That ended up to be St. Michael. St. Michael and St. Philomena have been closely associated for years, often sharing a pastor who offered services at both churches each Sunday. Tracy said that a good deal of this decision can be attributed to decreasing attendance at churches in rural areas, primarily because more people raised in rural areas are moving away when they reach adulthood. Quote, "It's hard because in rural areas I think the churches take on bigger roles in the community," she said. While it will be up to the individual churchgoer to determine a new parish that works for them, Tracy said that the close connection with St. Philomena means that those who switch to the Monticello Church will be among familiar parishioners. In general, she said, the diocese is looking to make sure everyone feels welcome, no matter where they end up amid the change. Quote, "We're working with parish leaders, the priests and people in charge, to build strong community and make sure that everyone feels part of a community, because there might be some fractures with people going different places," Tracy said. Some concerns, like the future of the church building itself, won't be addressed until after the final Mass. It is scheduled for 3 p.m. Sunday, and all are welcome, whether they be past or present parishioners or other community members hoping to bid St. Michael adieu. After Mass, the church will host a send-off with food and time to reminisce. Tracy said folks have brought in photos from events over the years, and they're expecting a big crowd and plenty of stories and memories to go around. The only concern with waiting until the last Sunday of the year for the event was the weather, which is said to be pretty nice. Quote, "So there's no excuse not to come and help us celebrate and share your memories and thoughts and wishes," Tracy said. "It will be a very special occasion." With the closing of the church on the horizon, parishioners worked to compile its history, which stretches back over a century, and that's just to the construction of the building. Bement's first Catholic church was erected in 1866, and the first iteration of St. Michael was constructed 22 years later on the current site. In 2012, the church was moved across the street to the south to make way for the current St. Michael Church to be built in 1913. Tracy found notes from the dedication where it was clear church leadership was concerned about raising the funds needed to build the structure. Apparently, they found there was nothing to be worried about as the community stepped up and chipped in. One line from the dedication reads, "Now we wonder why there was ever so much fear and so little faith in our hearts." And there are several photographs of St. Michael's Catholic Church. One shows the church from the front. The other one shows the cornerstone that says "Built 1913," a schedule of masses, and a large photo of the sanctuary taken around Christmas time with all the Christmas decorations. The second front page story is part of a series called titled 2026 Storylines, and it reads, "Kinetic energy, wind, solar farms continue to expand in Vermilion County," by Jennifer Bailey from the News Gazette. When Fairmount farmer Steve Fores served on the Vermilion County Board from around 2006 to 2022, wind and solar farms were few and far between in the area. Quote, "I was on the board when the first windmills moved in 10 plus years ago up across Collison and Potomac," Forrest said. "At the time, the county board didn't have a wind and solar committee," Forrest now chairs it. Quote, "We put together a set of standards at that time," he said, "involving developers meeting financial responsibilities, siting, and other issues. In the wake of laws passed by the Illinois legislature, those standards had to be reworked and reformed. That's when it really got serious, and that's when the permit requests started flowing in," said the 70-year-old who farms corn and soybeans on about 500 acres. The story continues on page 8, and there are several large photographs of wind turbines on cornfields. The biggest one reads, "Turbines that are part of the California Ridge Wind Farm are shown in Vermilion County near the Champaign County line." There's also a photograph of Steve Fores. He's the chair of the Vermilion County Wind and Solar Committee, shown on his farm in the Fairmount area. The article continues, "When Fores left the county board in 2022, he told the chair that he had some background and history with wind and solar projects and would like to be involved if applications cranked up. He didn't know he'd be appointed chairman of the committee. The first wind farm in the county was the California Ridge Project from Chicago-based Invenergy. It went online in late 2012. The original project saw around 30 turbines placed in northeastern Champaign County and just over 100 more in Vermilion County. Shortly after that, a small project went in west of Hoopston," Fores said. "The county approved ordinances on solar farms in 2019 and wind farms in 2021. Subsequent ordinances on commercial solar and wind farms came in 2023. The Wind and Solar Committee now spent the last 3 or 4 years trying to handle the permitting process. The committee, consisting of 6 community leaders, initially spent almost a year with the county board on realigning the county ordinances to line up with a state statute passed in 2023. Fourier said they also had to convince people that the committee doesn't have much choice on the matter, as the law requires that the county's standards match the state's minimum standards. He said the amount of farmland being used for wind and solar farms aggravates him. Among the current projects in development are Earthrise Energy's 1,500-acre solar farm on the Catlin-Tilton Road, and one from Liberty Power / Mural Energy on another 1,500 acres of farmland between Fairmount and Seidel. There are also several community projects tied to Ameren, each around 40 acres or so near Westville and Bismarck. The bigger commercial projects sell energy back to the grid to benefit others outside the community. Quote, so we're probably 3,000 to 4,000 acres that are potentially going to get eaten up by solar, Fourier said. Where a project's jurisdiction also depends on whether Fourier and his committee know about it. For the Catlin-Tilton Road project, Earthrise Energy is dealing with Catlin Township and the villages of Catlin and Tilton. Fourier said some fell through the cracks and haven't gone through the county committee, including one by Muncie on the north side of Interstate 74. He said some companies are easy to work with and aren't afraid to answer questions. The new state law includes all the necessary criteria, including setbacks, he said, but, quote, it doesn't give you any subjective measures where to look at that proposal and the company and whoever that's behind it and go, is this somebody that is reputable? Somebody that you want spending, committing to 30 years of being in the county, question mark, unquote. Quote, but if you can't protect all the landowners from being less than diligent in who they choose to rent to, he added, I understand in today's farm economy, if you've got farmland and they want to pay you 4 or 5 times what you can cash rent those acres for, it's hard to turn around and say no, unquote. His biggest problem with the solar farm projects? Quote, this will never be farmed again, he said. Once this is done, it's done. It's lost. And for East Central Illinois and Vermilion County, that's a natural resource that can never be replaced, never be put back the way it was. He said while he understands that the land can be returned to use for farming, it doesn't make any sense for a company that has invested in installing all the necessary infrastructure to turn around and tear it out 30 years later. Even then, he says, it would be an undertaking to revert the land back to row crop farming, and once the nutrient strata in the topsoil is destroyed, it can't be restored. He said land given over for solar farms is also no longer eligible for farm program participation. Fourier said wind farms used to bother him more than solar, but the wind turbines can be farmed around, whereas the solar projects take much larger swaths of land completely out of the production as farmland. As a farmer, Fourier said, they are overproducing anyway, and if prime farmland is taken out of production, maybe product prices will go up. Quote, but I just hate seeing the future generations, that natural resource that we were blessed to get along before any of us ever set foot on this land, being taken up, he added. He has relatives who farm near the first wind turbines that went in, and he said the only time they hear them is when the turbines are rotated to catch the wind. Fourier said right now the county's wind and solar committee has no permits to consider. The most recent project that the full county board approved siting for is from Musketeer Wind Energy, LLC, which seeks to add up to 81 wind turbines between Rankin and Hoopston. Among the concerns raised by citizens was an 8-acre battery storage facility that's part of the plan. Fourier said they had to research how the county would deal with that. The new development is expected to bring in $100 million in property tax revenue over the next 30 years. The company plans to seek a building permit within a year and will likely take 1 or 2 years to erect the new wind turbines. This fall, the county board also approved a livestock management plan for a small solar farm west of Ridge Farm. The board rejected another proposal by Mural Energy to erect solar panels on 1,400 acres of farmland in Jamaica and Vance Townships in the southwestern part of the county. For the Catlin-Tilton Solar Project, until a permit application is filed, the Wind and Solar Committee is sitting on the sidelines. The loss of tax incentives has Fourier and others wondering how much longer projects will continue to be pursued. The pendulum is beginning to swing, and I had the feeling that on a lot of the solar projects and wind projects, the original developer went in, maybe put the infrastructure in place, took all the federal and state subsidies, and then turned around and wanted to sell it to somebody else to operate it, Fures said. Fures also said, compared with other counties, he thinks Vermilion has worked hard to be receptive to companies within the bounds of what's logical and makes sense. Quote, Vermilion County is probably no worse off than a lot of other rural counties, he said. And when he looked at jobs, that the solar and wind project have created, as well as the tax revenue generated for the county and schools, he didn't see any other industrial development that could match the result. On the same page is a related story titled Catlin Tilton Road Solar Farm Awaiting Actions by Local Governments, by Jennifer Bailey as well. Earthrise Energy's proposed solar project along Catlin-Tilton Road that has polarized the public is waiting on the local governments involved. According to Ellie Ginnis, a project development manager, to move forward with the proposed Tilton solar project, Earthrise must obtain zoning approvals from both the villages of Catlin and the village of Tilton. Each village currently has a solar moratorium in place while zoning codes are updated to address utility-scale solar projects. In early November, Earthrise submitted applications for special use permits to both villages to demonstrate our continued commitment to the project, Ginnis said. Once the moratoriums are lifted, these applications may be revised to align with any updated zoning requirements. She added that during the moratorium, Earthrise will, quote, continue to engage with project stakeholders and further develop a proposed program intended to provide direct benefits to the project community. The proposed project is proposed for about 1,000 acres along Catlin-Tilton Road and includes solar panels and related infrastructure. Earthrise has owned and operated the Tilton Energy Center natural gas peaker plant since 2021 and has been actively developing the Tilton Solar Project over the past year. Tilton Mayor Billy Weir said people who support the wind and solar project are, quote, afraid to speak up. I believe there are people for it, but don't want to say for fear of social media and neighborhood backlash, unquote. Those in support cite property rights and property owners being allowed to do what they want. But Weir said that villages have the right to regulate the projects too, with setbacks and other regulations. Those who oppose the projects cite among the reasons the removal of land for food production, the visibility, pollution, glare, and heat radiation from the panels, and the effects on wildlife, he said. Earlier this year, the Vermilion County Farm Bureau Board, came out in support of large-scale solar facilities being built on farmland, but called for a review of the siting process. Quote, the Vermilion County Farm Bureau has a long-standing position of strongly supporting private property rights, the board said. We also support a diversified energy policy, which includes renewable energy. Due to the growing number of renewable energy projects across Vermilion County, our organization is calling for a review of the siting process, the board said. It is our belief that the emphasis for solar projects should be focused on non-productive land. And the article includes a photograph of a farm building with a yard sign that says "Say No to Solar," and the caption reads, "A sign that says Say No to Solar is shown on a property on the Catlin-Tilton Road near where Earthrise Energy is seeking to build a 1,000-acre solar farm." I'll now read the history column on page 2. Area history. In 1925, fire starting around an overheating stovepipe completely destroyed the Oldsmobile service garage owned by J.L. Oakes on 506 West John Street, Urbana, causing damage which will probably amount to around $5,200. In 1975, although stores nationwide reported heavier than usual shopping on the day after Christmas, most local retailers contacted by the News Gazette indicated the day's shopping had been no more than experienced last year. Some reported business was brisk, and others had hardly any business at all. In 2010, duffel bags full of man-made dolls are on their way to poor children in Haiti and South Africa, a Girl Scout project inspired by a professor's work in Cape Town. Several Champaign Urbana troops have made the soft brown cloth dolls for children who have little or no access to dolls that look like them. For international history, today's highlight. On December 27, 2007, former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto was assassinated in a shooting and bomb attack that killed at least 20 people in the city of Rawalpindi, Pakistan. On this day in 1831, naturalist Charles Darwin set out on a round-the-world voyage from Plymouth, England, aboard the HMS Beagle. In 1904, James Barry's play, Peter Pan, The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up, opened at the Duke of York's Theatre in London. And in 1968, the Apollo 8 capsule splashed down safely in the Pacific, completing the first crewed mission to orbit the Moon. I will right now read an article on page 3 on the section on news from the nation and the world. One is called, is headlined Islamic State, titled Trump, U.S. Strike Hit Militants in Nigeria. And there's a photo of soldiers inside what looks like a destroyed building. The caption reads, Nigerian military personnel on Thursday inspect the scene of a deadly explosion Wednesday at a mosque in the Gamburu market in Maiduguri, Nigeria. This is a story from the Associated Press. President Donald Trump said the United States launched a powerful and deadly strike against forces of the Islamic State group in Nigeria after spending weeks accusing the West African country's government of failing to rein in the targeting of Christians. In a Christmas evening post on his social media site, Trump did not provide details or mention the extent of the damage caused by the strikes in the northwestern state of Sokoto. A Defense Department official who insisted on anonymity to discuss details made not public said the U.S. worked with Nigeria to carry out the strikes and that they'd been approved by Abuja. Nigeria's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the cooperation included exchange of intelligence and strategic coordination in ways consistent with international law, mutual respect for sovereignty, and shared commitments to regional and global security. The Associated Press could not confirm the extent of the strike's impact. Nigeria fights armed groups. Nigeria is battling multiple armed groups, including at least two affiliated with the Islamic State, an offshoot of the Boko Haram extremist group known as the Islamic State West African Province in the northeast, and the less-known Lakurawawa group prominent in the northwestern states, where the gangs use large swaths of forest as hideouts. Security analysts said the targets of the U.S. strikes could be the Lakurawa group, which in the last year has increasingly become lethal in the region, often targeting remote communities and security forces. Quote, Lakurawa is a group that is actually controlling territories in Nigeria, in Sokoto State, and in other states like Kebbi, said Malik Samuel, a Nigerian security researcher at Good Governance Africa. Quote, in the Northwest, there has been the incursion of violent extremist groups that are ideologically driven, he said, blaming the incursion on the near absence of the state and security forces in hotspots. Violence affecting Nigerians. Trump said the airstrikes were launched against IS militants who have been targeting and viciously killing primarily innocent Christians, unquote. Residents and security analysts have said Nigeria's security crisis affects both Christians, predominant in the south, and Muslims, who are the majority in the north. Quote, terrorist violence in any form, whether directed at Christians, Muslims, or other communities, remain an affront to Nigeria's values and to international peace and security, the Nigerian Ministry of Foreign Affairs said. Nigeria's government has previously said in response to Trump's criticisms that people of many faiths, not just Christians, have suffered attacks at the hand of extremist groups. U.S. measures affecting Nigeria. Trump ordered the Pentagon last month to begin planning for potential military action in Nigeria to try to curb what he called Christian persecution. The State Department recently announced it would restrict visas for Nigerians and their family members involved in killing Christians there. And the U.S. recently designated Nigeria as a country of particular concern under the International Religious Freedom Act. Trump said U.S. defense officials have executed numerous perfect strikes, as only the United States is capable of doing, and added that our country will not allow radical Islamic terrorism to prosper. A second article on the page about news from the Nation and the World is headlined U.S. Congress lawmaker proposes aiding victims of SNAP benefit theft by Oliver Bridges from Washington. CQ roll call. Lawmakers in 2024 let lapse the authority for states to reimburse food stamp recipients who lost their benefits to fraud. Several lawmakers want to reverse course. In the 2 years that the Agriculture Department had the reimbursement authority, it identified 1.9 million fraudulent transactions using stolen Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits. Nearly 679,000 households were impacted, and 322.5 million in benefits were reimbursed from the second quarter of fiscal 2023 through the first quarter of fiscal 2025, according to the agency. But the victims now have no available options to reclaim the benefit because the SNAP reimbursement program expired on December 20, 2024. The theft is personal to Representative Zach Nunn, a Republican from Iowa. Quote, this began from a situation in my home state of Iowa where we had a veteran who had his benefits taken from him, Nunn said last week. I literally had to take groceries to him to help him through the month. The experience prompted Nunn to introduce a bill in June that would again give states the authority to reimburse SNAP benefits stolen through skimming, cloning, or other unauthorized electronic transfer. His bill would also set civil penalties for theft at twice the value of the benefits, using the penalty money to pay for the reimbursement. The fraudsters and the scammers are continuing to enfranchise themselves where, tragically in many cases, there's Americans out who are not getting the SNAP benefits that they deserve, Nunn said. We will now take a short break and return with the second half of the weekend edition of News Gazette, December 27th and 24th. Please stay tuned.